This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Marriage is the foundation to a stable society. The premise of marriage monogamously consisting of a man and woman was intended to provide fulfillment for both of them and a foundation for children to develop etiquette and morals anchored in faith with God. But sadly, today's culture is confused. There are questions surrounding this sacred institution. Adultery, divorce, homosexuality have all taken their toll on the family and this age-old institution. What is the truth representing the original intent of this institution? Who has the right to unequivocally define marriage? Stay with us as we explore these questions on today's program.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. As you can see in that lead-in that we just provided you, the subject of today's program is marriage. We're going to look at why marriage. Why does God want marriage? Why has God instituted marriage? We won't be able to explain completely why God wants marriage, but we will focus in on one particular reason that God wants us to be involved in marriage, men and women coming together in the marriage covenant. Now, before we do any of that, I want to talk about the difficulties of marriage, because when we think about marriage, marriage is not easy. You may have heard stories from friends of yours who are married. You may have issues in your own marriage. And when we look at divorce statistics, they are staggering. Various places that you go to look for information on divorce will tell you that about 40% of marriages end in divorce. That's almost half. That is staggering when you think about it. I've heard that in California, 60% of marriages there end in divorce. And I've seen another statistic that says that 900,000 people a year get divorces. Those numbers are huge. Those numbers are staggering. There are problems in marriage. We want to look at why. Why does marriage seem to be so difficult? And then we'll begin to look at why God wants folks to get into marriages. It's more than just being fruitful and multiplying, although that is part of it too. We will then, at the end of today's program, look at some ways that you can make your marriage better. We're going to do all of this on today's program, but before we get to any of that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you a couple CDs on today's program. The CDs we're going to offer you are titled Resolving Marital Conflict and The Sacred Meaning of Marriage. Now, as we said in the opening, many people have conflict in marriage. This CD on resolving marital conflict can help you overcome some of those conflicts that may be affecting your marriage. The second CD we want to offer you is The Sacred Meaning of Marriage. Marriage is a sacred institution that was instituted by God. Look into why it is sacred. Find out more about this interesting topic. To do this, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. On our website, on Sabbaths, you can also see our webcasted sermons. Go to the website to learn more and see our archive sermons on the website, again, at www.cgi.org. I want to thank you all for joining us on today's program. Our subject is marriage, and in the introduction to today's program, we talked about the fact that there are conflicts in marriage. Why does God want different people to come together in marriage if there's going to be conflict? Well, we want to look at that a little bit. First, we want to look at why there may be conflict in marriage. Now, when you look at males and females, you obviously see some similarities. They're all human. They all have brains. They all have similar body types. But of course, there are numerous differences between males and females. We can go to our biology, our hormonal differences, our physical differences. And when you look at it a little more closely, our thinking patterns and how we look at things is a little different. Now, I don't want to upset anyone out there. I'm going to be speaking in generalities today. There are some women who don't like to talk much at all. There are some men who can go on and on and on in discussing things. But when we look at communication patterns, I'm going to cite some examples from a book that is titled You Just Don't Understand by the author Deborah Tannen. Now, Deborah Tannen is a professor at Georgetown University, and she's written a few books on communication. And what she's found is she's found that, generally speaking, women communicate more words per day than men do. The totals are about 25,000 words a day for women and about 12,500 a day for men. Now, if you think about that just by itself, that could lead to some conflict in marriage if you think about that particular difference. And you've probably heard of the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and many other books like that that talk about these differences between males and females, some of the things that lead to these conflicts that we end up having in our marriages. Another area that I'd like to discuss has to do with the brain and the brain function. And when you look at the brain, what you find is there are men use the left side of their brain more than women do. And on the left side of the brain, you have the logical, the factual, the analytical side, or the aggressive side. And according to researchers, women access the right side of their brain more often or more easily. And that's where feeling, emotion, communication, and relationship reside. Now, both men and women can access both sides of the brain, and they do. But just speaking in general terms, what research tells us is men are a little more focused on the left side and women a little more focused on the right side. And if you think about just that by itself also, you can see how that particular thing could lead to some conflicts between men and women. Another thing that I want to bring up as an example of differences between men and women is that researchers have found that in general terms, there is a primary need of men in relationship and there is a primary need for women in relationship. And again, generally speaking, this isn't true of everyone, but what they say about men is many men generally need admiration or respect in the relationship from the woman, from the wife. What they don't want is criticism, that kind of causes some issues with men when they are criticized. For women, what they need is they need connection. They need relationship within the marriage or within the relationship. What they don't want is separation. So these are some primary needs that both men and women have, and you can see how this could lead to some conflict also. Let me just give you an example from my own marriage. I can recall a time when my wife called me at work about a particular issue at the home. And then when I got home that same day, my wife brought up that same issue. And then before we went to bed at night, my wife mentioned this issue once again. Now, my wife was just trying to relate to me. She wasn't nagging. She wasn't being critical or anything like that. But I took it as a little bit critical because why is she continually going on about this issue throughout the day? For my wife, it was just about relationship, connection, and saying what was on her mind at that particular time. But I saw it in a different way, and now, of course, I see that in a different light, and that helps me in my marriage and my relationship with my wife. So we can see these issues coming up in marriage over and over, and if we can get a handle on these types of things, our marriages can run smoother, and we'll be talking about that towards the end of today's program. But if God knows man and woman, because remember, God has created man and woman, He knows the differences between men and women, and He knows if they come together in marriage, those particular differences are going to rub up against each other. So why did God want those differences to rub up against each other? Let's look at some scriptures to hopefully find out the answer. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says the following. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Now, this is very important. God created us in His own image, in His own likeness. God says a male and female should come together, leave their father and mother, and become one in marriage. Now, thinking about that, becoming one, the Old Testament tells us that God is one. Over in the New Testament, it also tells us God is one. And let's look at a scripture over in John chapter 17 and verse 11, dealing with this oneness of God. John chapter 17 and verse 11 says this, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Now, it's speaking about Christians. It's speaking about believers here. And Jesus is saying, make them one like you and I are one, Father. Now, that's interesting. God wants us to become one like He is. And in marriage, we read in the Old Testament that we become one in marriage. And we're also in the image of and likeness of God. So you see how all these scriptures have a connection to each other in a roundabout way. Now, what else does the Bible say about God? The Bible also tells us that God is love. God is one, God is love, and we can see this scripture over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and 16 says the following, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." So God wants us to abide in love. And you've probably heard the old adage, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Marriage is supposed to have love in it. And if we can practice love in marriage and learn what it's about, we can learn more about what God is all about. And isn't that what God wants from us? He wants us to become one like Him, more like Him. Well, let's look at what love really is, and that'll help us see how we need to bring that into our marriages to make our marriages better and freer from conflict. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it gives us a definition of love. Love is not just emotion. Love is just not feeling. There's more to love than that. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself." For a moment, think about your marriages. Are you operating from this love in your marriage? "Love is not puffed up," verse 5, "does not behave rudely, does not seek its own." Have you ever sought your own in marriage? "Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That's important if you're thinking about divorce, ladies and gentlemen. It never fails. Love never fails. It hangs in there. It overcomes. It deals with conflict and overcomes that conflict. That's what love is all about. That's what God is all about. And have you guessed it? God brings us together in marriage. He knows those conflicts will be there because through love, you can overcome those conflicts. You can get better at being a human being. You can get better at the spiritual things you need to be working on that bring you closer to God, that make you more like God. And marriage is a great place to learn love, what it really means, what it's all about. That's one of the reasons why God has given us the gift of marriage. But those of you who are in marriages, you may be still dealing with conflict, still dealing with issues, and I want to give you some ideas about how you can deal with those hard times in the marriage. There was a book I read called The Love Languages, and it was written by a marriage counselor. And he had a lot of experience in this particular subject. And he came up with 5 love languages that if you find out what your spouse's major love language is and you feed into that love language, you can really make the marriage a good thing for your spouse. Now, that's not to say that these other love languages are not important to your spouse, but there may be one primary love language that you can focus on and try to feed the need that your spouse has in that particular area. Now, what were these love languages? Well, the first one was words of affirmation. And if you think about your marriage, do you use kind words? Do you use encouraging words? Do you keep your voice down when you're communicating with your spouse or when you have a disagreement with your spouse? The tongue is a powerful instrument. If we use it wisely, if we use it incorrectly, it can be powerful in a negative sense. Look at a couple scriptures on what the Bible says about the tongue over in the book of Proverbs. Over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words can hurt. Words can also encourage and lift up. Some women, some men need encouragement, need words of affirmation. That might be your spouse's primary love language. Are you feeding into that? Another love language that the Bible brings these points out, but this particular counselor brought out in his book, The Love Languages, was quality time. He talks about quality time. And what he had to say about quality time was this. He said that some spouses, whether it's the man or the woman, needs to spend time with the other spouse. They don't want the spouse to be running around with their friends at night. They don't want the spouse to be on a business trip for a long period of time. They need that spouse around. Just if they're around can make a difference for that particular person in the marriage. And when you think of words of affirmation, when you think of quality time, isn't our relationship with God similar to these points? God wants us to pray to Him. God gives us His Word for words of affirmation. When we think about quality time, God gives us the Sabbath day. God gives us His holy days in our relationship with Him. So shouldn't we also be using that idea in our marriages, connecting the spiritual with the physical, just like God does in His relationship with us? Think about those points also as you think about these love languages and your love and relationship with God. A third love language that the book addresses is acts of service. Acts of service. Now, this can include a lot of things. This can include running the lawnmower, running the vacuum, going and getting groceries, cleaning the baby's diapers, fixing the room up, doing any mundane task around the house. Doing any mundane task that may be important to your spouse, whether it's taking out the garbage or fixing dinner or washing the dishes. For some husbands or wives, this could be a big deal. Some of us don't think that's a big deal. But it really can matter if you find out that that is the primary love language of your spouse. That when you do things for them, that really makes a difference for them. And the only way you're going to find out is if you communicate, if you talk, if you find out what their needs are and you try to answer those needs. Now, the Bible talks about service. If we go over to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says there, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So in our Christian walk, we have to serve each other. Why aren't we doing this in our marriages? Please, let's remember that we need to serve each other in marriage. We need to put in 110% for the other person and not think of our needs. If we can both do that, we're going to have a smooth marriage. A fourth love language that is addressed are gifts. For some people, if you bring home flowers, that may change the day for your wife. If you get tickets to a baseball game or a football game. That may change the whole day or week for your husband. If you fix dinner for your husband, that could be a gift. If you buy him dinner at a nice restaurant, that could be a gift to a husband. I know that would work for me. And for women, we need to understand that flowers, jewelry, some of these types of things can really make a difference and alter that person. And if we continually do that on a regular basis, that can really feed the need that that person may have in the marriage. When we think of our relationship to God, think of the gifts of the Spirit that God bestows upon us. Think of the gift that Jesus Christ gave us through His life that can give us new life in the future. So we see this going on in our relationship with God also, that we can give gifts to God. We can do acts of service to others, and that will be like doing it to God, as it says in His Word. The final love language that I'd like to address on today's program is physical touch. For some people, physical touch is a primary need within the marriage. Now, this can take many forms. This could include hugging. This could include kissing. This could include hand-holding, massaging, and sex. And again, I talk about that within the marriage covenant. All of those types of things might be the primary need of your spouse. And unless you ask, unless you talk about it, you may not know that your spouse really needs that need to be met within the marriage. That could make a big difference within your marriage. Now, looking back on each of these love languages, it's important to understand that all of these love languages may be important in marriage. Maybe your spouse wants all of these particular needs to be met, but one is probably more primary than the others. And you need to focus in on what that particular one is. Now, some ways you can do this is through communication, through talking, or, as it was mentioned in the book, observation of your spouse. What seems to upset them? What seems to get them down? Over time, you will start to see what particular love language is most important to your spouse. And once you find that out, you can start to feed that particular need of your spouse. So please use these techniques, these ideas. They could help you resolve some of the marital conflict that you could be going through. Now, what we've looked at today on today's program is marriage. And we've seen that there are a number of people who have difficulty in marriage. We've seen that the divorce rate is skyrocketing. And this leads us to know that there are issues in marriage. What we found is that a lot of people have issues in marriage because of the differences between males and females. Now, a lot of people are bringing baggage into the marriage already. But many of the issues that arise in marriage have something to do with the differences between males and females that we've gone over on today's program. We've talked about communication differences. We've talked about how we access the different sides of our brain a little bit differently. And all of that leads to these conflicts that we have in marriage. But as we said earlier, God has instituted marriage. God has talked about the oneness of marriage, the fact that when we come together as male and female in marriage, we should be one in mindset. We should be one in our goals and what we're trying to accomplish in that marriage. And we've seen through Scripture that God is one also. And if you start to connect these Scriptures together, you start to see a pattern emerging that God created us in His image and likeness because, as it says in John 17 and verse 11, God wants us to become more like Him. And through marriage, it can be the ground on which you learn what love is like, because it, as it said in 1 John 4:16, God is love. And what was love? We read about it in 1 Corinthians 13. We read that love does not envy. Love is not puffed up. Love is always there for you. Love does not speak badly about someone. It endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things. If we can be like that in marriage, if we can operate from love, We will overcome the conflicts that come up in marriage, and we will learn more what it's like to be God spiritually as we grow closer to God. And when that transformation occurs in the future, when we are resurrected and enter that kingdom of God, we can operate like our elder brother Jesus Christ, like our Father in heaven, and be more and more like them as we operate in that kingdom that they are going to create on this earth. I hope you got something out of today's program. I hope that your marriage is going well. If it's not, please get those CDs we offered on today's program. Please email us. Talk to a minister. You can be helped. Your marriage can be strengthened if you try to get the help, if you look for help. There are numerous resources out there. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day. You know, I had to laugh when Mike mentioned love and marriage is like a horse and carriage, that old song, you know, and it brought back memories of a simpler time of years gone by. But really, what was really at the heart of today's program was a very simple question. Two words. Why marriage? The simple answer to that question is, as Mike pointed out, God made it that way. He instituted it. However, the conundrum is, obviously, well, why didn't He make it easier? Because, frankly, marriage is oftentimes rather difficult. Hence, the plethora of books available on how to resolve this issue or how to resolve that issue, how to get along with women, how to get along with men. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I mean, we have a whole variety and host of different types of advisory books giving us all kinds of advice, more advice than probably we need to know. TMI, as they say, too much information. But the fact of it is, marriage is kind of like a garden. I'm sure you've heard that analogy before. And like a garden, over time, because, well, life's dynamic, there has and does crop up from time to time problems and challenges, whether they're jobs, careers, children, moving, health issues, all kinds of things. As I say, life's dynamic. And these things challenge our relationships. Marriages are part of those relationships. So, frankly, occasionally, we've got to weed those gardens, and we've got to take time out and to confront without offense and do the best we can to try to resolve issues between us, to nurture our marriages and to water them. Won't you let us help you to better understand how to do that? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask the operators for both of these free one-hour presentations. One is titled Resolving Marital Conflicts. The other is titled The Sacred Meaning of Marriage, which will give you a reason for certainly preserving your marriage. 888-578-8791 is all you've got to do to dial to get these free offers. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.